You know, this morning, the International Tribunal in The Hague made a ruling about Israel, and it was a good ruling, thank God. I was very worried at the truth, but it was a very good ruling. And there was this, who sued them? South Africa sued Israel for trying to do a genocide. And one of the proofs that they brought, then when Netanyahu spoke after the war broke out, he said the line, Zachor et asher asa lecha Amalek. Remember what the Amalekite did to you. We have to fight them. That's what he used. And not only he said it, then they found another Knesset member who said the same line. And then they found that Netanyahu wrote it in a letter to all the soldiers. Then they found a video of a group of soldiers who dance and scream, we have to eradicate Amalek, something like this. And they said, what it's written in the Bible about Amalek, they took it from a different place. It's written that Samuel tells King Saul, many years later, then you have to eradicate them. You see, they want to do a genocide. That was our whole argument. I listened to this piece. It was built unbelievably. Like, I was like, whoa. The guy from South Africa laid down the case one after the other in a clarity, little by little, and he makes it like Israel is about to destroy all of Gaza and eradicate everyone, men, women, children. This is what the Bible says. That's what they're referring to. Who is this Amalek that came to end up in The Hague? Amalek is a biblical story. It's in this week's parasha. Amalek is a grandson of Esau, the brother of Jacob. Esau and Jacob died 200 years before the Jews left Egypt. Esau died the same time. The grandson of Esau, Amalek, got the aid that Esau had to Jacob and his children. He gave it over to his children. Esau gave it over to his grandson, to Amalek. And Amalek became a big tribe, a big nation, just like the Jews. And he not only continued to hate the Jews, the Israelites, he developed it even more and more and more. This week we learn how the Jews are leaving Egypt, going out from Egypt, the splitting of the sea, an unbelievable miracle. The whole world was shocked by this miracle, splitting of the sea. Basically, God put the superpower of Egypt, the superpower of the Middle East, of the world at that time, out of business, destroyed them. And who did it? The Jews. The whole world was scared to death of the Jews. Then they got manna from heaven, water from a rock. Then you read in the Bible, Amalek is coming to attack the Jewish people. Who is this Amalek? What is Amalek's business? He wants to attack the Jews. What do you think? Amalek knew that if God of the Jews destroyed Egypt, the huge country, the superpower, he's going to pay a big price for it. But he didn't care. His whole sole purpose was to hurt the Jews. Even if he's going to be hurt even more, he's still happy. Is there? And Israel was not even going to his direction. The Jews are not in his direction, not going to take his land. They were hundreds of, maybe 1,000 miles away from him. He was near Eilat. Amalek were in Jordan, Eilat area. The Jews were just left Egypt. They have nothing with him. He ran from there to do what? To a nation who is not, they were just came out from slavery. And as long as they were a slave, it didn't matter, let them suffer. They're free people, he's all there. They don't have a land, they didn't receive the Torah, nothing. He came to attack them. Basically, a bunch of people who are wandering Jews, homeless. He wanted to hurt the Jews, even if he knew he's going to pay a price. He couldn't care less. The war alone was also not a usual war. The Midrash says something very interesting. He made some tunnels, he digged some holes, and used to jump out and attack the Jews. Sounds familiar, huh?
Yeah.
Not only this, he used to kidnap Jews and kill them. The same thing that's going on today, the same exact thing. Moshe told Joshua, go choose people, put together an army, and go fight the Amalekites. I will go up on Mount Sinai, on the mountain, it was Mount Sinai later, and I will pray to God. And Moses came up on Mount Sinai with Aaron and Hur, and he was holding his hand up. As long as he was holding his hand up, the Jewish people used to win. If he put his hand down and it was too hard for him, he was sitting on a rock, and Aaron held his hand from one side, Hur from the other side, And by the end of the day, they won the war. Joshua killed the strongest people, but he didn't kill the whole nation. They ran away. That was the end of this. Then God told Moses, tell Joshua that I will forever remember what eventually I will eradicate the people of the Amalek. And later in the Torah, it's written, God tells Moses, tell the Jewish people, remember what Amalekite did to you. And that's what Netanyahu was quoting. Remember what the Amalekite did to you. And like, remember, this. What is Amalek became? Amalek became a nation where it's Jews just because they're Jews and they're not in for any benefit for themselves. They just don't want to have you existing. That's what the Nazis, or that's what's going on today. They just don't want you in this neighborhood and finish, no matter what. Since then, many generations passed. We don't know who's Amalek today. Because Amalek today is not clear. We don't know who's Amalek. Then the mitzvah is not practical today because they don't know who they are. Then what is left is, we have to look if there is, God gives us a mitzvah. Must be there is a spiritual side to the mitzvah. Something we have to do with it. If God gives a commandment, remember what Amalek did to you. Remember. To remember what? What should I do with this memory? If there is no Amalekites on the street. The answer comes in the line before the story of Amalek in this parasha. In the line before it's written that the Jewish people were complaining about God, and after all the miracles, they said to each other, is God among us or not? Yeah. After God, the 10 plague, after the splitting of the sea, after bringing them manna from heaven, after bringing them water from Iraq, they were doubting God. Is God among us? Maybe not. It's unbelievable. Then Rashi brings on the Medrash a perfect example. He says a father walked on the way, took his son on his shoulders. He's going. He's going in the, you know, walks on the sidewalks and side yards. No. In the desert, whatever his son wants, he gives him. You want the ice cream, he gives you. You want this, he gives you. Carries him on his shoulder. Then somebody comes on the other side. The boy looks on the other side. Hey, you saw my father? The father was so hurt and so insulted. He took him off. He said, oh, you don't know where I am? Put him on the floor. He said, go ahead. He leaves. A minute later, he cries. Daddy, the dog came to attack me. That's what happened to the Jews. God takes care of, takes you out of Egypt on eagle wings, protects you on a pedestal, carries you on a pedestal. He's doing everything for you. You don't know if God is among you? Fine. Automatically, what happened? They lost the protection of God. The Amalek showed up. If they would not have, then the problem was that they had doubts if God is among them. Now in Ibu, Amalek, and the word doubt in Hebrew is safek. Safek and Amalek has the same numerical value. 240, I think.
200 what?
And 40. 40. You know, every letter is a numerical. It's the same number. Huh. The doubts. What means the doubts? When you have doubts, you're not sure. You know, people tell me many times, in Hebrew school we learn that Judaism is not like any other religion. Any other religion is not allowed to ask a question. Here we are allowed to questioning. I tell them, yes, but you're allowed to ask questions. You're not only allowed, you're encouraged, because Judaism wants people to understand, wants to learn Torah. But questioning is a different story. Questioning means doubting. Is it true? Who says that the whole Bible is true? Who says there is a God? Nobody encourages it. No, absolutely not. This questioning doesn't come from a good place. Asking questions is very good and very encouraged. Not questioning. See, that's the problem. What's going on with us? We have a problem in this war. We have an Amalek problem, a doubting problem. There is young people in Israel, in the diaspora, who are missing the conviction that the land of Israel belongs to the Jewish people. That's the problem. We have an Amalek that we have to deal with us, not outsider. There is many people that deep down are not sure that it really belongs to us. Maybe the land belongs to the Palestinians. After all, they were before us. This that in 1948, the UN said that they divided, gave a piece of the land to the Jews, doesn't mean that we are right. The Arabs were living there before us, right? That's that Lord Balfour declaration with Lord, because Lord Balfour decided that it's right to the Jewish people should have a homeland, doesn't make it right. They feel that we are the colonizers. We are the occupiers. That's what they feel. They do not have this conviction to fight for the land. In Israel, many kids. And the same thing, the students in American universities have the same problem. When people say the Jewish students don't know how to defend Israel, it's not a technical problem. They just send them the talking point and they will be okay. No, it's not a problem of knowledge. It's a problem of conviction. They are not sure they are right and the other ones are wrong. They think maybe they're right. We are the occupiers. We are the problem. We don't have the right for the land. Now, the Rebbe is to call the state of Israel always the land of Israel. He never called it the state of Israel. And many people were hurt by it. Once the president of Israel, the third president, his name was Zalman Shazar. He was close with the Rebbe. He was like coming from a Hasidic family. He wrote to the Rebbe, how the Rebbe doesn't call it the state? I'm the president of the state of Israel, and you tell me it's the land of Israel, and you love me, and you think it? Rebbe told him, yes. Rebbe told him, what happens in the land of Israel, he says like this. The Rebbe writes, something that was established in 1948 because the UN said it's okay, doesn't have the answer for the Arabs who are saying that you are occupiers. You stole my land. What are you telling me, 1948? In the Vatican, they don't believe. What mean 1948? You're occupiers. What are you going to say in the UN when the whole world is against you? The Rebbe says, don't think that I convinced myself that if you just say, what is land of Israel? Land of Israel means this is coming that we have 3,000 years old. We got it from Abraham. God promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that the land will be to his children. The Rebbe said, I don't convince myself. I don't dream that they will accept the answer. But the answer is for the morale of our children, for the soldiers in Israel, and for the students in the United States. This is our land, not because... They said, then when you say state of Israel, it starts from 1948. Say the land of Israel, the holy land, that's 3,000 years old. That's not 1948. This is the problem. And that's why so many Jews have a hard time with the state, with Israel now, to defend Israel. And the Rebbe writes it to another Knesset member. He says, changing the name... The Rebbe was very upset when they gave it the name State of Israel. He said, take the name that, the traditional name that we have for thousands of years, the land of Israel. Eretz Israel. State of Israel, Medinat Israel, is a new thing. It's a new invention. A new invention, who are you here? But if I come and say that's the land of Israel, or the land of Israel, the Bible. Even Ben-Gurion used to say, when they asked him in 1947, and the Pill, I forgot what his name, was a committee that was, they asked him, Mr. Ben-Gurion, you grew up in Poland, why you think you have a right to the land of Israel? He said, he picked up the Bible and he said, this is our deed. This is the Amalek we have to walk on. And only then, when you have the conviction, you're ready to fight for it. And that's why all our kids, that's why so enough Jews are even on the other side and fighting for the Palestinians. And that's why the people aren't even not for the Palestinians, are not sure. Is it ours or is it not ours? Then the job is to educate the Jews. What means it's not only educate, connect them with their tradition. The moment you connect with the tradition, it's yours. That the land is yours, that the Bible is yours, that the people are yours. Then the people in Israel become your brothers. Then the Bible becomes yours. Then the land of Israel becomes yours. It's one package deal. You're connected or you're not connected. And when you're connected, we don't have to teach you anything. It's not a problem of information. It's like the Rebbe used to say, when somebody's it's a fire, somebody's sleeping, you just have to wake him up. You don't have to wake him up. You have to wake him up. You know there is a fire is dangerous. You don't have to say anything. You have to wake him up. We have to connect them. The moment you are connecting them, everything will be good.